Chapter 16. It took an hour to clear out the field completely, and I made sure to amend the stone statue back to its original state and removed the steel hut the Elder Lord had created in the trees. I had a smile on my face the entire time, and it felt incredible to watch everything vanish. The fires were doused, the charred grass was replenished, and apart from my army around me, it almost looked like nothing had ever happened. There was still the occasional spot of blood on the ground, but that would quickly clear with the next rainfall, so I saw no need to clean up every last spot. Then, once everything was done, I could focus on the celebrations. At first, I thought about returning to Scholomance with those who wanted to attend the feast, and we could have used the entire academy to house everyone. But then I had second thoughts, and I saw no better place than the field we were currently standing on. Besides, the elders and their weak lord had all been vanquished, so there was no longer anything for me or my followers to fear. I gave my army the option whether they wanted to stay or if they'd prefer to return home, and it was no surprise to me that everyone wanted to stay. Food and wine seemed to be the first thing on their minds, and no one was going anywhere until they'd filled their stomachs with the finest food. I asked Theodora and Vanessa to assist me with the preparations, and together we managed to summon some tents and gazebos, which had been decorated beautifully, and enough chairs and tables for everyone to take a seat. A string of white and orange lights hung around the lip of the tents. Cushions, rugs, and seats were placed underneath, and it was the perfect place for people to lounge and relax if they didn't want to take part in the dancing. Theodora added in a few floating candles over every table, and as the sun slowly began to set, the flames flickered and created wonderful, warm shadows across the table settings.
"My lord, it looks perfect,"
Vanessa said once everything was complete. "It does," I smiled.
"I love every feast we share, of course, but this one feels different,"
she said, with her head cocked to one side.
"There's usually a hidden issue somewhere at the back of our minds as we think about what the Elder Lord will do next. But that's gone now. He's really gone."
"He has," I nodded. "I've passed over his soul to Dolroth, and he'll live out the rest of his days in hell."
"Which is exactly where he deserves to be,"
Vanessa laughed, and I joined in too. Once our laughter had died down, Vanessa mentioned changing out of her dress so she didn't eat dinner with blood-stained clothes on, and I even changed my shirt to something fresher. It was still a white button-up shirt, but it lacked the blood-stains, grass, and mud, so I already felt much cleaner. As I glanced around the field, I noticed flashes of light as everyone copied Vanessa's movements, and soon all the bloodied outfits were disposed of.
"What do you think, Master?"
Akira asked as she twirled around in her new dress. Akira's dress was as black as her hair, and it stopped just above her knees. It had two thin straps that ran over her shoulders, and it came with a corset that emphasized her breasts wonderfully. A thin silver chain wrapped around her neck, which had a snake pendant dangling from it, and the snake's two emerald eyes caught the light every time the witch moved. "Oh, you look amazing, Akira. You all do."
"Thank you, my lord,"
Cersei purred, and her forked tongue flickered out of her mouth sensually. The entire coven wore beautiful, delicate dresses that suited their individual styles perfectly, so I spotted purple satin, red velvet, and every color and material in between. Some of the women had heels on, others decided to go barefoot, but all of them had freshened up their hairstyles to match the styles of their dresses. I even noticed Winnie had joined in with the changing of her outfit, and it was the first time I'd seen the witch without a school uniform on. The timid witch hadn't gone for a dress as risque as the others, but she still looked beautiful. Winnie's dress was made from dark blue satin that ran right down to her feet, and it had a V-neckline to show off her cleavage and two cutouts at the side to show off her slim waist. The long sleeves were made from blue lace, and they stopped halfway down her forearm. Her raven-colored hair had been curled neatly around her shoulders, and a small touch of black makeup had been added around her blue eyes. I almost feel a bit underdressed. I laughed as I took in my audience.
You look perfect, Master.
Beatrix replied, and her cheeks pinked up with a nervous blush.
We just wanted to look good for you.
And you do. Every one of you. Okay. Shall we begin?
Yes!
Faye cried out as she rubbed her belly.
That apple didn't hit the spot as much as I thought it would.
My coven and I laughed at Faye's pregnant outburst, and I knew Faye and Akira's cravings and attitudes were only going to increase the more the children grew in their stomachs. I couldn't help but wonder what it would be like when the majority of the school were pregnant at the same time. But I'd cross that bridge when the time came. Chances were most of the women were probably pregnant at this point, given the number of nights I'd spent with them, and I couldn't wait for my unholy empire to grow. Instead of focusing on what would happen in the future, I turned my attention to what was happening now, and I followed my women along the field until we came to our chosen table. A golden throne had been created at the end of the table with the perfect view of everyone around it, and I let out a deep sigh as I relaxed back into the seat. It felt like I hadn't sat down in days, so it felt amazing to take the weight off of my feet for a minute. My coven, Lilith, Theodora, and the professors sat on either side of me, and the rest of the tables formed a circle around the field, which left enough room in the center for dancing. The dragons and hell creatures preferred to eat on the ground, because, apart from Dolroth, none of the hellish beings had ever really experienced furniture in the fiery pits. Then, as the final undead warlock took his seat, I stood from the table and brought everyone to attention. "I want to thank you all for what you did here today," my voice echoed across the grassy plains. "Without all of you, the Elder Lord would have still been at large, and who knows what he would have done. This feast is a token of my gratitude, so please, eat until you cannot move, drink every drop of wine you can get your hands on, and enjoy the night." Their energetic cheers and claps traveled in the air around us, and everyone sported the same smiles on their faces. Then I clicked my fingers, and a mountain of food and wine arrived in front of them. I continued to stand as the undead warlocks and witches fought over the food, and as I glanced across at the hellish beings, I noticed a gremlin was chugging back his goblet of wine like he hadn't had a drink in years. Even the familiars had their own food. Some of them shared the meal we were eating, whereas others were given a more varied diet. Ursula the snake had been given a live animal that looked somewhat like a small deer. And I watched in fascination as Ursula coiled up in an S position and then launched at the deer with full force. She caught the animal by the throat, and the rest of her long, muscled body wrapped around the deer to stop it from moving.
"Master,"
Cleo said, and broke me away from my distraction.
"Please, take a seat."
I'd been so caught up in the snake's hunting skills that I didn't see everyone else had a plateful of food in front of them. And someone had even made up a plate for me. "Ah, thank you," I said as I sat down. The plate was loaded with a bit of everything, and a pool of saliva formed in my mouth. There were slabs of pork, chicken legs, potatoes, greens, sauces, bread, and even bowls of different soups. I hadn't realized how hungry I was until I viewed the meal, and I didn't hesitate to shove a loaded fork into my mouth. An abundance of flavors ran through my palate, but I was so busy chewing and swallowing it all that I couldn't take note of them all. The sauces were sweet, the skin of the chicken was salty, and the potatoes were buttery, but I knew there were a load of other flavors I'd yet to experience. Morgana's cheerful laugh hit my ears, and I looked down the table to see the bookish brunette, along with Cersei, Samara, and Revna, were all sharing a humorous joke about something. It was nice to see them all getting on without squabbling, or someone joking about another witch's abilities, and for once my women could relax, just like what Vanessa had mentioned earlier. We didn't have to worry about where the Elder Lord was or what he was planning, and I was looking forward to what the future had in store for us all. Then a second noise caught my attention, but this one was louder and harsher than Morgana's sweet laugh, and I looked over at the hell creatures to see what had caused such a sound. Japner had helped himself to the chicken, and the entire bird was wedged into his mouth. The other beings around him laughed and smacked the giant on the arm, but Japner continued to crush through the bones and meat. Once he was done with the chicken, Japner spat the remains onto the grass, and a thick string of drool hung from his beard. The rest of the creatures howled with laughter, and even a few of the witches on the table beside them found it amusing. The hell creatures' table habits weren't the same as theirs, so at least the witches weren't put off by Japner's feral eating. Once the main courses had been enjoyed, the dishes were cleared away, and dessert took its place. A giant gold bowl sat in the center of each table, and inside were scoops of ice cream in a variety of flavors. I spotted the regular ones, being vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry, but there were also balls of purple, green, blue, and black ice cream, and alongside the bowl was a chocolate cake, pies, jello, cream, and a fruit salad.
Oh, this is what I've been waiting for,
Akira said with a greedy look on her face.
Astrid, can you pass me the pie? Which one? There's pumpkin, apple, I don't care, just pick one.
The black-eyed witch laughed. Astrid handed Akira the first pie she came across, and the black-haired witch cut out a healthy slice and threw it into her bowl. The inside of the pie was red, and it wasn't until I took a bite of it myself that I realized it was a raspberry and rhubarb pie. The raspberries were sweet and juicy, yet the rhubarb was sour and sharp, and together they made the perfect match. The pastry had been made to perfection. It held just enough butter and sugar, and the side of the pastry crumbled into dust when I stabbed it with my spoon. I didn't think I could stomach another thing after the mains, but I received a second wind when the pie entered my mouth, and I quickly became ravenous for more. I had scoops of ice cream, a slice of chocolate cake, some jello, and even some of the fruit salad. It almost felt like my stomach increased in size every time another plate appeared in front of me, and I couldn't stop myself from loading up my spoon. There was a dull ache in the pit of my stomach, but I felt satisfied, and I didn't regret a single mouthful. Finally, I relaxed back in my throne as I allowed the food to settle, and I caught sight of the candles that floated above us. The sun had completely vanished for the night, so the only light came from the candles and the string of bulbs around the tents. A warm, golden glow covered us, and the people furthest away from me were practically hidden in the shadows of the darkness. I could have sat there for hours, taking in the scenery and the visions from earlier, but the witches were eager to dance for me, so I picked the first one I saw and allowed them to go first. The witches simply announced they'd prepared this dance just for me, and they hoped I enjoyed it. Then one witch held her hand in the air, and with a clap of her hands, the music began to play out of nowhere. The tune was soft to begin with, and it took a second for the beat to come in, but then an energetic, cheerful song began to play, and the witches danced along with the tune in perfect rhythm. The witches kicked their feet out in front of them while they linked arms and spun around in circles, and then they took turns to perform an individual routine while the others stood on the sidelines. Once the witches had finished their dance and bowed their heads, their audience clapped, and I watched as the second group took their places. I recognized these women from the village where Revna, Astrid, and Freya were from, so I instantly knew their dance was going to be completely different than the last one. And I was right. The tune they chose was made up of mainly percussion instruments, and the booming sounds from the drums and bongos added to the feral tone of their dance. The witches flipped through the air, called out in time with the music, and even included fireballs in their routine. It felt more like gymnastics than dancing, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I made a mental note to watch it again in the future. It took an hour for all the dancers to perform their routines, and once the final witches had bowed their heads, the group dance began. This wasn't choreographed like the others, and it was for people to dance together if they felt the need. A few witches remained at the tables, but it didn't take long for the space in the center to fill, and witches and undead warlocks danced around joyfully as the wine took over their bodies.
My lord, do you wish to join us?
Beatrix asked, with her arm hocked around Winnie's. Their rosy cheeks and the distant looks in their eyes told me they'd enjoyed their fair share of alcohol. I will, soon, I smiled. But for now, I wish to take in the surroundings.
Come and find us when you decide to dance? Yeah, we'll be the ones in the... well, we'll be somewhere on the dance floor.
I'm sure I'll be able to find you. I laughed. I watched as Beatrix and Winnie ran from the table, and they kept their hands locked together the entire time. A few other coven members joined them, and together the group joined a circle to dance in. It didn't seem to matter what song was playing. The witches danced contentedly like they didn't have a care in the world. And it was all because of me.
I don't think this feeling will change for a while,
Theodora said as she pulled up a seat beside me.
It's lovely to see them so happy.
It is. Vanessa was just saying that before the meal.
And we have you to thank for it, my lord.
The headmistress smiled.
It was your brilliance and guidance that saved us. And who knows what would have happened if you weren't there to lead us through the war.
Oh, Theodora. Regardless of my guidance, this army is strong. And you would have controlled them the same way I did. I've never met a headmistress like you in all my years. And I just know you would have had the same outcome without me here.
Thank you, Master.
Theodora murmured before she took a sip from her wine and placed one hand on my lap. I noticed the look of pride and love that swarmed her blue eyes, and it was the same look I'd seen since I first arrived in Scholomance. Theodora always had my back, especially when the others wanted nothing to do with me, and I'd always be grateful for that. She knew my secret before I did, and she'd followed my lead since before I chose Lilith as my vessel. They were two of the most important women in my life, and I didn't know what I'd do without them.
I wish to thank you further, my lord.
Theodora broke the silence a moment later. For what?
For everything.
She shrugged.
You chose me to look out for you while you were on Earth, and because you chose Lilith, it meant I was able to have Vanessa. And I never thought I'd mother someone as beautiful and as wonderful as her.
I cupped her cheek with one hand and played with a strand of her black hair with the other, and Theodora rubbed her face against my palm with the sweetest smile on her face. You deserve the best. I hope you manage to bear another child someday soon, my own child, and they'll run Scholomance after Vanessa. Your name will live on for the rest of time, and children in years to come will know of you and everything you did for me.
I cannot wait to watch my stomach swell with your offspring. I already know how Akira and Faye are going to feel when they give life to their children, and I hope to feel the same way if I'm lucky enough to have another child.
Suddenly, a wicked thought came to mind, and I noticed how Theodora caught the grin that crossed my face. Oh, I'll make sure you receive what you're after. But for now, I'm going to do whatever I can to plant that seed in your womb. Theodora's eyes glistened with hunger, and the hand on my lap began to wander toward the buckle of my belt. Not here, I said, with one hand over hers. Not that I care if people watch, but... You are the esteemed headmistress of Scholomance, and you deserve privacy whenever I fuck you senseless. Theodora barely had the chance to respond before I locked my fingers with hers, closed my eyes, and transported us into an empty tent. My cock was already straining against my pants, and I didn't have the time to walk there. The tent had been equipped with a decent number of plush pillows, cushions, and two large bronze mirrors on either side. I could just imagine the reflection I'd see as I fucked Theodora, and it suddenly became exceedingly uncomfortable in my pants. The lights outside gave us just enough brightness to work with, and I didn't give a fuck if our shadows were plastered in the tent walls for all to see. I wanted everyone to hear Theodora's cries as I brought her to her climax. I held the headmistress's face in my hands, and as I stroked back her soft hair, I attacked her mouth with my lips. Theodora let out the lightest moan, which caused her delicate skin to vibrate against mine, and I could taste the wine on her breath as I wrapped my tongue around hers. We were caught in that sensual embrace for a number of minutes, and the heat in the tent began to rise as Theodora caught my bottom lip between her teeth. Her hands became lost on my back, and I grasped onto her hair to keep her in place. My entire body ached to feel her warmth and love, and as the headmistress began to unbutton my shirt, I played with the strings at the back of her dress, which kept the outfit attached to her body.
Master.
She moaned as she pulled my shirt from my body.
I've been dreaming of this day for so long, and it feels like a lifetime since we were last together.
That won't happen anymore, I whispered as I placed delicate kisses across her shoulders. I'll be sure to have a woman in bed every night for the rest of my existence.
Oh, we're so lucky to have you, my lord. We're so lucky to have someone who cares for us as much as you do. You took an incredible risk leaving hell and risking your immortal soul to defeat the Elder Lord, but you were victorious, and now you can rule the cosmos. I am happy you chose me as your steward during this journey, and I will always be yours to command, fuck, and impregnate.
I brought Theodora in for another kiss as her dress dropped to the floor, but this kiss was hungrier than the last. I needed more. And my cock was about to erupt if I didn't give it what it needed the most. Get on your knees, I ordered as I pulled away. Theodora obeyed without a word, but she kept her eyes on me the entire time. Then the two of us worked together to remove me from the confines of my pants, and I almost cried out in relief as my dick sprung free. The headmistress held my length with one hand, and then she used the tip of her tongue to mop up the pre-cum that pooled at the tip. A violent shiver ran down my spine as the sensations attacked me, but I kept my feet balanced, and I let out a deep groan as Theodora opened her mouth and took me in as far as she could manage. Her tongue played around with my cock, yet she never broke eye contact with me, even when her head began to bob back and forth. My fingers became lost in her hair, and I followed her movements with a slight thrust of my hips. The mirror in front of me reflected the scene, and there was no better sight than seeing the headmistress sucking my dick from all angles. Theodora was an expert, and she clearly knew what she was doing with her mouth. Whenever she pulled back, she sucked the head of my cock like a popsicle, and then she licked her lips quickly before she got back to work again. Her incredible skills were enough to make me come on the spot, and I felt the coil tighten in the pit of my stomach as I reached my first orgasm of the night. Hold still? I growled as I pushed my cock further into her mouth. Then I sprayed streams of white cream down her throat. She hummed as she gratefully swallowed my gift, and I sighed as she sucked and licked up my cream. Good girl, I purred once she'd taken my full load, and then I gently slid my hardness out from her plump lips.
Master.
Theodora panted as she brought herself away.
I hope that was okay for you.
You pleased me greatly, and for that I believe you deserve a reward. Lay on your back.
Yes, master.
Theodora smiled coyly, like she knew what the reward was going to be, and I knew both of us were just as eager as the other to receive it. I got to work removing our shoes. She wore a pair of black heels with a thin black strap around the ankles, and although I hated the fucking buckles that kept them in place, I was patient enough to wait until I'd untied them properly before I threw the shoes off to the side behind me. Then I held her bare thighs in both hands, and as I positioned Theodora the way I wanted her, she ran one hand down her stomach until it sat between her legs. Her delicate pussy glistened in the soft glow of light, and it was mesmerizing, yet almost painful, to watch Theodora slip the tips of her fingers into what was mine. "Remove them," I grunted as I grasped my cock in my hand. "Only one thing will be penetrating you tonight, and it won't be your fingers."
"I apologize, my lord,"
Theodora said with an innocent expression.
"My body aches for you, and I couldn't help myself."
"Well, you won't need to wait much longer." I winked. Then I nestled myself neatly between her thighs, lined my cock up with her wet entrance, and forced it inside with one long thrust. Theodora let out a piercing cry as I filled her warm tunnel, and I held myself in that position for a brief second to allow her walls the chance to adapt to my size.
"Oh, fuck. Yes, fuck right there."
I pulled myself out almost completely and then slammed back inside her again. The movement was enough to push Theodora back against the cushions, but she met every thrust with her own, and she tightened her legs around my back to hold me in place. Her ample breasts bounced with every move I made, and I found myself staring at her dark nipples and wanting them in my mouth. I glanced up at the mirror as I pounded into my gorgeous woman, and every so often I caught Theodora resting her head to the side, like she was watching the scene from the mirror behind me. I imagined she could see my back arch, the muscles in my legs tighten, and her locked ankles, and the juices dripping along my shaft said she liked what she saw. That image alone caused me to quicken my movements, and my breaths came out in deep pants. "Fuck, you feel so good."
"Cole, my lord, I... fuck!"
Her shriek filled the tent, and I knew anyone close by could have heard us, which only made me want to go faster. I was desperate to drown out the music that played outside, and the only thing I wanted my followers to hear was Theodora's reactions. Our sweaty skin slapped together as Theodora ran her nails down my arms, and I held on to her thighs as I drove in harder and faster. The coil in my stomach returned, and from the tense expression on Theodora's face, I knew the headmistress was close to her climax. But I wasn't done yet. I had two mirrors to use to my advantage. "Get on your knees and face the wall," I ordered as I slipped out from her warm tunnel. My body ached to be inside her once more, and it seemed to take an age for Theodora to complete my command, when it was probably really only a handful of seconds. But as she repositioned herself, I peered at the mirror and caught sight of our faces. "Look at me," I said with a grunt. "Look at me as I fuck you." Then I smoothed one hand down her bare ass, and I stared at the mirror once again as I lined my cock up with her entrance and forced myself inside her.
"Oh, fuck! Yes, fuck!"
The dark-haired Wicca grasped onto the cushions to brace against my thrusts, but she never took her eyes off me. I saw every detail, from the expression on the headmistress's face, the whites of her knuckles as she squeezed the cushion, and how her breasts and body lurched forward as I pounded my cock deeper. "Ugh! Is this what you wanted?" I asked as I bucked my hips some more.
"Always. I always wanted to feel your love. And it doesn't even feel real now. It doesn't even feel real that you're inside me. And that you love me as much as I hoped."
"Of course I do. I love you all. And I'd be nowhere without all of you. I'll watch you raise our children, and I'll hear you scream my name as I fill you with my unholy cream for all eternity!
Yes, yes, please, right now!
The monster of my lust reared his head as Theodora begged for my cum, and I wanted to feel her spasm around me and coat my cock with her juices as she milked my cock of every last drop of cum. Ugh! Are you ready?
Yes, so ready.
Theodora nodded, and her eyes were glassy with desire.
More ready than I've ever been before in my life, my lord.
Then prepare yourself. I grinned. On the count of three, you're going to come. But it must be in time with me.
Oh, of course, my lord.
She panted as she tossed her head from side to side.
Oh, whatever you ask, I'll always obey your rules.
Oh, good. Then I gave Theodora the countdown. But I delayed it just to torture her a little more. But on the count of three, her walls spasmed, and I felt her warm juices coat my cock as I exploded for the second time. Spurts of seed burst from the tip of my shaft, and the copious amount of my sperm pooled in the headmistress's fertile womb. My legs cramped up as my dick gave one last twitch, and a line of sweat ran down my spine as Theodora dropped her head to her chest. She let out an animalistic growl as her orgasm ran throughout her body, and as her growl calmed down, the only noises inside the tent were our deep pants as we attempted to control our breathing. I'd lost all my energy, but I had just enough strength left to slip out from inside her pussy before I crashed into the cushions beside her. Neither of us said a word for at least a minute, and I kept my eyes closed until Theodora began to play with my hair. Then, as I peered over at the headmistress, I noticed the gentle look that covered her face.
I could do that again for hours.
We have plenty of time to spare. I smirked. In fact, we have all the time in all the realms. A dark look coated her eyes as Theodora threw one leg over my hips and my cock hardened again. I knew it was going to be a long time before we left this tent.